Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by City of Hope, Dunkin' Donuts, May's Pancake Place, Pindertal, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Raw Star Assurance, Southwest Plaza, and Star General, Insurance Made Simple.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. That's BTC Flow, channel 612. I am delighted to have with us Barnett Ellis, Free National Movement Senator, to talk about so many things. Why you come on the show today? Because I thought there were many other things, but today is like an evolving day.
It is.
And we did not plan this to talk
about not at all.
Whatever happened today. So no, I don't want nobody to get mixed up. But welcome, ma'am. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to finally be on your show.
Yes, you know, let me ask. I gotta ask you this: how's your journey been in the Senate? How's your journey been on this front line of politics in this way?
It's been an amazing journey. It's more than I ever thought it would be. This was not part of the plan. Frontline politics was not part of the plan. But I absolutely love it. I love meeting new people. I love hearing their story. You know, I like causing ruckus in the Senate. It's been a great experience.
You sound like when you was in school, you were a little mischievous.
Me? No, but honestly, it's been a great experience. The FNM has been in my life for my entire life. I grew up remembering my grandfather used to have this map of New Providence divided into constituencies in his study. And so it's always been on the back line working, but it's wonderful to be in the front.
And you are, so people know, you are an attorney at law.
Yes, I am. Over 17 years.
Yes, ma'am. And you are with the law firm of Graham Thompson & Co.
Yes, the prestigious law firm of Graham Thompson & Co.
Absolutely. And you are one of those litigators and dispute resolution specialist.
So they say.
Okay, well, let me and you not getting any disputes today, because then I can rely on you to resolve it. Can I? Are you a Nassauian born Bahamian?
Yes, I am, very much so.
But you know, it matters which island you come from, you know.
It does. And I think, unfortunately, I don't have any family island roots. I am a Hannah Hasty Tyne. So obviously we hail from Pompey Bay Acklands. Mm-hmm. But that was many generations ago for us.
And your schooling would have taken you from which primary school to which high school and then what?
I went all over the place. Maybe I was a disruptive child. I went to Xavier's, and then I went to Tamberley, and then I went to the mighty, mighty, mighty Big Red Machine. And then I went off to boarding school in Toronto.
Okay. All right. So you and I at least touch bases on the same landmass, as I went to school in Canada myself, London, Ontario.
Oh, you went to... I was at Western. Yes, I am a Mustang. I was at Western for my BA in sociology. And then I went to the other London to go and study law.
Ah, what a campus, eh?
Oh, beautiful campus. Beautiful campus. Lots of green and lots of snow.
So now I don't even know where to put this one on the front burner or the back burner. I am going to put it on the back burner. We can put it on the back burner because the Prime Minister's office has come out with an extensive statement regarding the $7 million that has been apparently lost to the Bahamian people because of a failed execution of a land deal for BPL.
Mm-hmm.
And they have indicated that, you know, I don't expect you to be au fait on the details of this because you were not in office at the time. But I do want to ask you this. Take this particular issue and any number of issues which you all have recently made statements of, and what is it that the Free National Movement sees as characteristic of the Davis administration?
Well, I think this incident, like many others, they always like to blame us. They like to deflect and blame us rather than actually solving the problem. They were elected to solve the problems. We were voted out because obviously people weren't pleased with the way we were dealing with matters. They are in the chair, yet they continue to look back and say, well, it's the F&M fault. It has been almost 4 years later. It's time for them to own up and make the changes that they promised the Bahamian people they would do.
You're the first opposition person who has not hinted at what you just said, but has said it in the clearest way that it has been said, which is this part of it is what you say, I'd say as clearly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the sins were that the Free National Movement administration committed prior, they paid for those sins in getting voted out.
Exactly.
Right? And so you're not running from the fact that the people did not assess and adjudge that you should stay in office. So they said, we need change. And so that's why we elected you.
Exactly.
And you are saying that change ain't coming, and you can't keep blaming us. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. All you're doing is deflecting from the fact that you have not made a change, that you have not done the things that you have promised.
In the broad, can I ask you,
mm-hmm.
as you look at the country, you don't see any progress, significant progress, relative to what the complaint was by people and by the opposition, by the then opposition about the country?
You know what? Unfortunately, I haven't. And there have been so many opportunities for this administration to make a change. I'll give you a small example. In their blueprint for change, they talk about implementing the Freedom of Information Act, amongst many things. But that's one of the things that in fact, they said it's not a priority. Well, why you put it in the document if you had no intentions of doing it? You know, procurement is another issue. They, you know, have took so long to follow the old act, brought a new act, which was almost identical to the old act, and still is barely doing the public tender and competitive bidding process. And then there's crime. And, you know, crime is particularly salty because they put up the billboards on us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Crime is at a high. Violent crime is at a high. Bahamians feel unsafe. I find, you know, yes, when we drive, we were always looking around to see what bad drivers were doing so we could avoid an accident. But now I'm also looking to see to make sure that anybody's pulling out a gun or what's going on. They have not made a change. These things continue to fester. And we're now, like I said, we're almost 4 years in. When are y'all going to do the things you promised the Bahamian people you would do?
What if you could venture a guess or an observation? What is it that you attribute to this lack of progress, this lack of change for the better that you suggest has not happened? What do you think it? What is it doing, not doing, that you believe is causing this?
I think two things. First of all, I don't think they're paying attention. I think they are focused on the travel. I think they are focused on how they can cut themselves in, that they're not focused on the issues that matter to Bahamians. And I also think they're also too focused on the F&M. They are so busy telling us that we are wrong and we are divided that they're not paying attention to what needs to be done. The fire engines in Grand Bahama is a great example. Early in the year, we raised the flag about the working fire engines in Grand Bahama. And rather than dealing with the issue, the chairman of the PLP called it utter foolishness and proceeded to chastise us. Well, look what's happening now. Had they paid attention, solved the problem, it having been raised, we wouldn't be where we are. So, yeah, I think they're not paying attention.
What you said, and they're too busy cutting themselves. What do you mean by that?
I think that, you know, the lack of competitive bidding raises a flag for us all. Why are you not being transparent? What are you hiding? And unfortunately, our experience with the PLP is that we've become cynics. And their failure to be transparent makes us think that the worst is going on. And there's no, if you're not doing anything wrong, then let's put it out to bid. Let's be transparent about it. What do you have to hide?
You understand it. And you and your colleagues, I have no doubt caucus, right?
Yes.
How does $183 million no bid contract gets to happen, and there is such a gap before an outcry is made about it? How does that happen? Like, what do you think happens there? Like, why would you guys not have picked that up sooner?
You mentioned that the government presents on the contracts that are awarded, you need to go over it with a fine-tooth comb. You know, it is not, they essentially produce a spreadsheet and say, yeah, here's the information. And so it really is a matter of, you know, combing through to find that, you know, piece of information that is in the tangle weeds.
You think that's intentional, or you think that's just the way it is?
To hide it in plain sight? I think that's just the way it is. And so we also need to, but, you know, we also need to make sure that we are delivering information in a way that is accessible and understandable to people. This, you know, transparency in this manner is new for the Bahamas. And so we need to look at how we are presenting information. And I hope that we get better at doing it. Because also the more information you have, the better decisions that you can make. And so we need
Would it be necessary also for the opposition to be more diligent in exploring these things? Because I think if you are issuing a certain size contract, 10, 20, 30, anything above that, for me says, let me look at this and see how much details I can get. And you either get what information is published or you ask whatever questions is necessary, and then you raise whatever cane you have to if you don't get the answers you get. Don't you think there's a duty on the part of the opposition to be more vigilant and more diligent in that regard?
Yes, and there's also a duty on the government to answer the questions.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Look at the problems they're having with question time in Parliament. Mm. They either manage to avoid sitting on the second Wednesday or come up with some excuse as to why they can't do question time on the second Wednesday. And then when they ask the questions, they say, I'll get back to you with the answer, and we're still waiting for the answer. And we see that in the Senate as well. When we go through the budget exercise and all of a sudden there's $1 million somewhere that there's no explanation for, and you say, you know, you ask the question, they never have the answers. They say they're going to get back to you, and, you know, then they disappear and say, we're not talking about it anymore.
No few people have indicated, I even have on occasions alluded to it, to whether or not there is a kind of gaslighting that happens with respect to how the government treats some things, where
yes,
you know what you have observed, or at least you think you know what you have observed, and yet you are told something entirely different. It seems as if, like, you didn't see what you saw. Is that something that you observe, and is that something that the party thinks is an issue?
It is. You ask a question, they gaslight you. Sometimes it's like being in an abusive relationship, because you are, you know, you see it. It is plain as day. The people around you are like, yes, no, this is plain as day. And then you ask the question and they completely twist it, turn it, and manipulate it. And you still don't get, you know, you still don't get the answer. And all of a sudden you're the problem.
So you guys sent out a press release on the Parliamentary Registration Department.
Yes.
The Deputy Leader, Shannon Dawn Cartwright, raised this issue in the House of Assembly about a Canadian firm mm-hmm. that is doing some work in the Parliamentary Registration Department. It is a firm known to the Bahamas because I think it participates in the Bahamas' printing of monies and what have you. So nobody was ever questioning that they are not a legitimate mm-hmm. organization doing anything. But the questions were raised about this. I don't recall it, but do you recall having an answer as to what they are doing in the Parliamentary Registration Department responsible for the management of the elections of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas?
No clear answer. And the other, you know, the issue for me is how are you storing this information? We have some data protection laws that need to be followed. How are you storing this information?
How is who storing it?
The Canadian company. How, whatever information they are gathering, is it being stored in the Bahamas? Are they just creating a system and we're inputting the information and it remains in the Bahamas? Or is this information that now needs to be stored elsewhere? How is it working? And the thing is, these are legitimate questions. I've said this in the Senate. I think I said it during the midterm debate. Even when you ask legitimate questions, it is met so defensively, but it's a completely legitimate question.
But the thing about it to me is you asked how's the data being stored and what have you. How the data is being stored depends on what you're doing.
I wasn't
clear on what the firm is doing at all. So that's why I was asking whether you even had that clarity as to actually what it is doing there.
No, we don't know.
So this has not come to the House by way of communication or anything of that nature?
No, not at all. They during the midterm budget, I believe it was Wade Watson, the Member of Parliament for Centerville, for Bain and Grantstown, made reference to the fact that it was coming along, but has given, there was no particulars in terms of what they are actually doing.
Do you not find that extremely troubling?
So someone, I,
someone is in the parliamentary registrations department doing work, and the government has not said this is what they're doing.
So it is extremely troubling. You know, one of the things that I have done for the party since 2002, honestly, has worked elections. And in particularly the last two elections, I have been involved with dealing with the parliamentary registry, whether it is, you know, observing advance poll ballots or, you know, all of those back office things that we have to do as part of the election that the parties participate in, right? The thought that there's a portion of any of that is being outsourced and we aren't getting the information is extremely concerning. And there are obligations with relation to the register in the statute. You know, we need to know what is going on, especially as, you know, we're coming into year four, they could go to year five, but we could have an election at any moment. We need to know.
Interesting. Senator, we have to take a break. I know you're going to hang in there. So when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Michael LeBarnett Ellis, Senator, Free National Movement. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC Games and More, John Bullfine Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks S Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
The car?
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she up her insurance app and bang. She was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This April, Duncan is spreading awareness and support for autism awareness. Did you know that autism affects 1 in 54 children? It is so important to show our support. And you can show your support by grabbing a signature blue donut from any Duncan location during April. Join us in raising awareness and support for REACH and the Seahorse Institute. Duncan, fueling communities one blue donut at a time. The Bahamas runs on Duncan.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us on Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon where we're having a conversation with Michael Barnett Ellis, attorney at law, FNM senator. And we're talking really about all kinds of issues in the country. Can I ask you something, Senator? What would you say are the most troubling issues facing the country right now?
For me, the most troubling issue is the cost of living. I think right now it is so expensive to live, and it's hard for a lot of families. I'm a single mother, and I feel it. And if I'm feeling it, I know lots of people are feeling it. And I think that affects the happiness index, that affects crime, that affects relationships. And I think change about that. I want to see something change about that. We need to make living in the Bahamas easier.
That's a tall order.
I know. I'm ambitious. But you know, it's small steps. You know, one of the things I talked about in the Senate recently, and you know, the other side didn't like it, but so they reduced VAT on grocery items. Okay, let's reduce VAT on medicine. Let's reduce VAT on medicine. Mm. Why am I paying VAT on Tylenol? Why am I paying VAT on feminine products? These things are essential in life.
So yeah. The one thing that I'm happy to hear you say is, you know, let's reduce VAT on something, because that's a thing the government can do. Because very many times when I hear people talk about reducing the cost of living, they make a very general statement, which, to be quite honest, as an economist, I know that that's just nonsense talk, because there are so many factors that play in the cost of living, many of which have nothing to do with the government. What the government can do are the things the government can do, and this is what I seem to hear you saying.
Yes, but you know, I was forced to do economics my first year at Western. But I fully appreciate that, you know, the government cannot control the cost of eggs in the food store. Right. It cannot control, you know, the cost of fruits and juice and snacks. I get that. But what they can control is the VAT.
Those things that represent a cost, it is adding to the cost.
Yes. Unfortunately, this morning I had a flat tire and the car had to get towed. But I was having a conversation with the tow truck driver. And he talked about importing. He said, why am I paying, you know, when you bring something in, the VAT you pay is the total cost, which is the value of the good and the customs duty. And you pay VAT on all of that. He's like, why is the customs duty included in what's being calculated for the VAT? Like, why, you know, I feel like I'm being taxed on top of a tax. These are things that the government can change. These are things that the government can make sense. That makes a difference. You know, there are lots of things in life we can't control. That's one of them.
So cost of living is one big issue. What are some of the others?
As a parent, education is extremely close to my heart. I have a child who learns differently. And really, there needs to be more options for parents. You know, schools are really operating when I went to school. And we need to evolve. People learn differently. Children learn differently. And I, you know, Bahamian people are some of the brightest people that I have ever met. And I think that we are not tapping into their strengths, and we are not reaching them the way we need to reach them when they are in the formal educational system. And so I would like to see, I'd like to see a development of the curriculum, and I would like to see not necessarily alternative learning, but, learning that is a little more outside of the box so that we can reach all students. I was just going to talk about crime.
Please go ahead.
Not feeling safe is not a good feeling. I'm also I'm going to use the word runner loosely. I run very slowly. But in the last few years, I have stopped running in the morning because I just simply don't feel safe. And that, running, exercising has a zillion benefits, right? A great stress reliever. And it's really a shame that my ability to do that, as a mom, that's kind of the only moment I get to myself. That sense of safety needs to be improved.
This text says, good afternoon. So the F&M lady is doing what any party person would do whenever there is a point in favor of the other party they don't know, but they could remember everything they perceive bad about the other party. Mr. Wayne Monroe addressed that matter with the Canadians working along with Bahamian officials in the parliamentary office. He also mentioned other projects to work on in the Bahamas, says this texter. What is your response to that?
Well, I think I talked about the fact that, reducing the VAT was a good idea and that I'd like to see it more. I'm a 40-something, right? I've seen the Bahamas flip-flop between administrations. And when something is good, I have no problem saying that something is good. And when something is bad, I have no problem saying that wasn't right, that wasn't cool. So I don't think that I am doing what politicians do, and only the F&M is right and the PLP is always bad. Not at all. But we're having a conversation about where to take the Bahamas forward. And, Roe did say that, but it obviously wasn't clear and obviously hasn't resonated so that persons have a clear understanding as to what's going on at the parliamentary registry. What are they doing?
Well, I have to tell you, the texter could say what he wishes, and maybe he has, and maybe he should tell us what he said clearly. But I listened to Mr. Monroe, and I still do not know what the folks are doing in the parliamentary office. I do not know. And if the texter has that information, he should text us and tell us what they are doing, since he knows. And you'll have an hour on the show. Now you might even go call Mr. Monroe and see if he could put it to you. But I listened to him, and I'm telling you, I don't know. So if you know, please tell us, because it's useful information to have.
It is. And they might be doing something amazing.
Absolutely. And I'd love to be able to know. Anyway, ma'am, we are going to take a break for news. And I have to tell you, when we come back, we got to talk some of your party politics, though. When we come back from the break. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm here speaking with Senator Michael Abonnet Ellis. We're gonna after the break, we can talk some F&M politics now, because it's getting kind of interesting. We'll be back after this news break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we're speaking with Senator Michael Barnett Ellis, attorney at law, FNM senator. And we're talking about any number of issues facing the country. Madam Senator, under the leadership of Michael Pintard, the FNM has been plagued with the notion of it. And largely, my observation is that that is a result of the posturing of the former leader of the party and former Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Dr. Hubert Minnis. Just recently, an FNM MCM goes on another show, a talk show host, to essentially lambaste the party leader in objecting to the notion that the former leader will not be nominated as a candidate in the upcoming election. Now today we get news that Mr. Iram Lewis, the sitting member of parliament for Central Grand Bahama, has decided that he is, I don't know how you cross the floor when a party has no representation in the House, but he has left the FNM and cast his lot with the COI. How do you respond to these things in light of a perception some people have that the party is not needed?
So I'll start. MP Lewis's departure from the Free National Movement Caucus is obviously disappointing. But the wonderful thing about life is we all have free will. Mm-hmm. But the perception that the FNM is not united is simply untrue. And it is propaganda promoted by people who have their own interests. We are very united under the leadership of Michael Pintard. He has been decisively elected as leader on two occasions. So I think the body of the party has spoken in terms of who they want to the next election.
And your the party is not disunited.
No, we are extremely united. We are extremely united. Do we always agree on everything? Maybe not, but that doesn't mean that we aren't united. We are still moving forward to a common goal, and that is to be the next government of the Bahamas and make the Bahamas better for the Bahamian people.
But you acknowledge that I'm not going to put words in your mouth, so let me make my observation.
Okay.
The former leader of the Free National Movement, Dr. Hubert Minnis, and former Prime Minister of the Bahamas, and any number of persons who support him have acted in ways that have not been helpful to Mr. Pintard's efforts or the party's efforts under Mr. Pintard's leadership. And I think that that's, by the way, I agree with you that that does not mean the party disunited. That could just mean you have a disgruntled person or set of persons who are unwilling to go in a direction that most of the party is going in. But you accept that that is not healthy for the party, especially given that this is a former leader and former Prime Minister of the country.
I agree that it's not healthy for the party, but that is a handful of individuals, and the FNM is bigger than that. The movement is bigger than that. And so what we really have to look at is what about the majority of the party? Because we are a collective, because a handful of persons are disgruntled, that does not mean that the party is not united.
Yeah, and to be fair, I know under every leader of the Free National Movement and under every leader of the Progressive Liberal Party, dissent has happened. The only difference here, and I've said this before, and you could speak to it if you wish. The only difference here is that I have never seen a leader of a party face the degree of opposition faced by the leader of the Free National Movement by another former leader, a former leader of a party, particularly one who's been prime minister. I have never seen that.
You know, I agree that that is unprecedented, but our leader is a phenomenal leader. And I think that, and he has shown that in spite of headwinds, he is still leading the party and doing a very good job at it.
Why do you think he is a phenomenal leader?
He is somebody who works hard. He pushes you to work harder. There is a level of, I want to say perfection, but there's a level of, he expects you to do your best and he pushes you to do your best. He is also somebody who listens to opposing views, but he doesn't tolerate foolishness. So if you were to say to him, you know what, I disagree with this, I think we should do X, you disagree with his view and why you propose an alternative view. And that for some people can be off-putting, because not everybody is comfortable explaining why they disagree and justifying their position. But it has definitely been my experience that if I, you know, when suggestions are made to him, whether they be by me or anybody else, he takes them into consideration. And then there's the passion and the heart for the people. You know, what we saw with him delivering water in Eleuthera and the fires in Grand Bahama, that's not a show. That's authentically Michael. That is authentically him. That is what he wants to be doing and feels passionate about, because he, like me, believes that it's making everyday life easier for people. And these are the things that matter, because these are the things that are, you know, affecting people now.
You say that that's authentically him. As someone who has known him for a very long time and has interacted with him for a very long time, that's absolutely him in and out of politics.
In and out of politics, and he doesn't care what color shirt you're wearing.
Yeah. He goes in an environment, and if he has anything to do with it, it's gonna change everybody for the better. That's my experience with him.
And those are the traits, you know, we want as a leader. He is somebody who leads by influence. He doesn't lead by, I'm the leader and I say so, and, you know, what I say goes. He persuades you to come along and to show up and do your very, you know, and do your very best.
And what do you think going to be critical to the party's success going forward in trying to contest the next election?
I think what people are going to see is a party that demonstrates the Bahamian public that this is not business as usual. That this is not, we are not the PLP in red shirts. We are the FNM. We are different. We have a legacy of accountability and transparency, and we have every intention on continuing with that legacy. We'll also demonstrate to people that we are not a party that is out of touch. You know, so often I watch some of the things that the government is doing, that this administration is doing, and I'm really like, do you live in the same Bahamas as the rest of us? And so you will see a who are in touch with what's going on, who live and breathe and operate the same way that the voters do. We go to the food store, you know, we have these same experiences. And I think having persons who can relate to you and understand what you're going through is extremely important because he who feels it knows it. I think they're also going to see a younger, agile F&M, which I think is it's important. This crew has a lot of energy.
You expect to see a higher percentage of female representation come in the upcoming election for the F&M?
You know what? I hope so. I think that, you know, so often in the 3 years that I have been doing this, you know, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing it. Oh, it seems so hard. I could never. And a lot of my conversations are actually, you can. And men with far less have done it. So I know for certain that you can do it. And so it's really about showing women, young and old, that politics isn't scary and that we can do it just as well as the men. And I think that we are seeing more women stepping forward, and that excites me.
I don't know if you could answer this question, but has the party made a decision that it will not run the former prime minister in the next election as a candidate?
I don't think that's a question for me to answer. That's above my pay grade.
I just thought I could try. You could try.
You could always try. The worst I could say is no.
Well, it must be credibility to it to the extent that a whole MCM would go on a whole talk show to talk about it as a fait accompli. So, I mean, you know, forgive my speculation. I accept your answer because, you know, that's appropriate. But it seems that some of them are taking it very seriously. I might also note, this is not you, this is me. There are those who speculate that Iram Lewis probably was going to get a candidacy and so sad of getting chopped, he just decided to jump. That's my speculation, you know. I mean, these are interesting times. I've also heard that there's possibility of there being an election this year. Have you heard that? And what's your reaction to that notion?
I've heard that speculation. But, you know, I think speculating about elections is, you know, the second hobby of Bahamians after speculating about junk canoe. And if it is, bring it, because the sooner we can get rid of this crew, the better.
Mm. So you think that notwithstanding an early election, the Free National Movement is ready and prepared to contest that election?
I do. And we are ready to be the next government of the Bahamas.
Is the party, because I had people pull me on the side, you know, they know I'm somewhat active in the Free National Movement before.
You've been here before.
So people, so people keep asking me, hey, when they can put the people them in the field or on the ground, etc. Are candidates being nominated or people in the field canvassing, even if just prospectively?
Yes, I encourage everybody to follow the Free National Movement's Facebook page because in almost all the constituencies across these islands and keys, associations are on the ground and being very well received by residents.
Well received, you say. Well received.
Well received.
So far, I think you've been quite forthright, so you ain't trying to pull no woolly over people's eyes and people are being
well received. No, because when they see me in the food store, they can pull me aside. So.
See what you was talking about?
Exactly. No. They're being very well received on the ground. And so these are, you know, as they say, the hype is kicking up.
Is a Michaela Barnett Ellis a likely candidate in the upcoming election?
Yes, if it is the will of the leader, I would definitely like to be a candidate in the next election.
Okay. All right. And you say you're 40-something?
I'm 43.
Okay. Well, young people. Listen, this me talking to one when I was 29.
I was just, I'm glad you said it first. Because I was looking at some photos the other day and you were a wee babe.
You would be abundantly more mature. Abundantly more savvy than I would have been in those days at 29. So you and all the 40-somethings and 30-somethings and others, please carry on. How have you and the party been paying attention to what has been going on to the north of us, given that if in fact you end up having to govern the country, you must govern it in the context of what our neighbors to the north are doing?
Yes, we have been paying attention. It has been extremely interesting. I believe at 4 o'clock this afternoon, President Trump is having a press conference in the Rose Garden to announce more tariffs. And, you know, as soon as I log off from this, I will be watching that to see what is coming.
I think the most important of any announcements he might be making is his reciprocal tariffs for all countries.
Yes.
Because what Bahamians have to recognize is that we are one of the most extensive levying tariff countries in the world.
Yes, yes.
Extensive levying tariff countries in the world. And if reciprocal tariffs, meaning if you give me a tariff, I'm going to put a tariff on you. If that holds true, that could be a nightmare for the Bahamas.
Exactly.
So that's something to watch for. So is this then a part of the considerations that your platform committee and those are on?
Yeah, so I happen to be a part of our shadow committee with relation to Ministry of Finance and Economic Affairs. And I can say that it is something that we are definitely paying attention to. And having discussions about, we also noted the comments from, I believe it was the governor of the central bank earlier this week about it. We are tuned in because, you know, when we become the next government of the Bahamas, this is something that we are going to have to deal with, at least for the remainder of his tenure as president.
Do you get a sense of clarity about the way the government is approaching the Trump administration policy pronouncements?
What I find interesting is the tone of some of these policy announcements. You know, we have a very close relationship with the United States. If they sneeze, we cough. And so we need to be very mindful of that. But I think also we are all dealing in virgin ground in terms of how to deal with somebody like President Trump and the stances that he is taking. 2 weeks ago, I had evidence where the former deputy national security advisor during his previous administration spoke. And it was very interesting when she talked about his strategy and what he wants to accomplish at the end of the day. And fortunately, the prime minister was in attendance as well, along with several members of his cabinet. And so it's going to be, I'm very curious to see how they treat with him.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live and Chicago Line, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise, means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-496. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I'm speaking with Senator Michael Barnett Ellis, and we're talking about issues in the country. She is the Free National Movement Senator in this current. Senator, this text says, Mr. Lang, every time I ask the FNM the following questions, I never get a straightforward answer. But I'd ask it again. If the FNM has proof or thinks a crime is afoot, why don't they report it to the police? And if they think a law is being breached, why don't they request a judicial review?
So judicial reviews are, you need to have standing to make an application for a judicial review. And often, so just, you know, being a political party or a member of parliament does not necessarily give you enough standing to apply for a judicial review on a matter.
And standing meaning that the matter sufficiently affects you.
Exactly. That you have a sufficient connection to the matter. You can't just be an interested person.
Not a general connection.
No, no, okay. No.
So and also, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so for example, you know, public procurement contracts. Somebody who has a sufficient nexus would be another person who bid on that contract and was denied. It can't just be, you know, I'm a Bahamian, I pay tax dollars, and why they wasted my money like that.
Right. And also, you know, this notion of judicial review is a notion folks kind of drum up at their heads because they see this stuff happening in the United States of America. But in the United States of America, they are not departing from the principle you just said. Very often, you see these things being done by the very people you're talking about. I have been affected by your firings at this place. I have been affected by your removing this particular program or policy. So it's not like the Democrats win and says we're gonna have a general review. So if we're gonna advocate for these things, we should at least sufficiently be aware of what in fact is happening where you are seeing the thing being done. The other thing is, the notion that if you think a crime is being done, go report it to the police, right? I mean, can you speak to that?
So in order to report a crime to the police, you need to be the victim. You need to be the virtual complainant. So, you know, you cannot simply say, you know, I think they are stealing from the treasury. Police go and investigate. It is the same concept of having a close relation or connection to the, you know, to the crime.
Because the police, in order to pursue the matter, have to have cause to believe, or even on the basis of your say-so, that something is happening. Can you imagine everybody getting to the police and saying, you know, I think they're thieving from the treasury, you know? The police have done less to do. Right?
Financial crimes would be even more overburdened than they are now.
And I might note that, for the benefit of the public at large, that generally speaking, there's a principle in politics that really politicians ought to attend to political issues in the political arena.
Yes.
Right? Instead of tying up the branches of government necessary for citizens to have their matters affected, that you have sufficient platform and sufficient gravitas to be able to deal with matters in the way that you have. Because you're sitting in parliament, you could prosecute a matter in parliament, and your prosecution of a matter in parliament could prompt an investigation of things.
And you know, with those mechanisms having passed legislation recently are in place. And so the key is whether this, particularly this administration, when things get reported, whether they are going to conduct an investigation. I mean, we saw their response to the commission of inquiry, and no such commission has been created or engaged. We now have the commission of investigation. If they investigate the officers of the police force who have been charged.
We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon, Senator. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to chime in on the point of Mr. Lang. I heard you mention that the leader Pintard, you've never seen the type of backlash or pushback from a former leader to the current leader, and on Senator's point of the FNM being together. I just want to highlight the fact that if you look around the country, or generally that those streams, news media, there's only one faction or set of people that is pushing this certain narrative that the FNM is divided. And why I think the FNM is ready to govern from day one, because I happen to participate in, you know, the shadow ministry working groups that Senator Barton Ellis would have mentioned. And what I like about Leader Pintard is he is very focused on real issues that affect the lives of the Bahamian people. So when you talk about the shadow ministry working group and being ready to govern from day one, it's been about the past 6 months, despite all of the backlash and the pushback in terms of being divided, the party was intentional about crafting policies and legislation, getting feedback from not only FNM, but inviting Bahamians across the divide to getting on what policies and legislations would look like from any particular ministry. And so I think despite the pushback that the leader is getting, he's very focused. He's still focused on the issues that are that the Bahamian people really wants to see. And once he continues on that path, despite the pushback, the team that possibly will be presented will really be unstoppable. And so we just have to pay attention to the, you know, the political games. And I think that what the FM is going to produce is going to be different from politics of norm. And I really see Pintard transcending politics of the norm with his team that he's about to introduce.
Now, don't leave. Okay. I have a question for both of you. You know, I'm 57 years old, and I've been in politics for a long while, and so forth. And you know, we just hear the same expressions. It ain't going to be business as usual. It ain't going to be the same thing. We're going to be different. Our team is going to be different. How are you going to convince people of that often? I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying.
Well, I heard you ask Senator Michael her age. And so being, under 40, a follower of the party and national vice chair, I think the difference is going to be the makeup of the team. You're going to have a lot of new and fresh faces where you're going to really feel and see that these are different generation of leaderships from top down. So it's going to be, I think, the perfect balance to be able to not only say that this is what we're going to do, but show it as well. And so I think the Bahamian people are going to believe, and they look at the makeup of the team, that the dynamic can actually be different now. And again, when you look at 6 months of intense discussion, dialogue, and that sort of stuff, really focusing on issues and putting an agenda for that Bahamian people really would want to see, I think from the platform that's going to be presented, again, it's not only FNMs that crafted these initiatives, it would have been regular Bahamians, like, no matter what color you wear, to joining on participating in this process. The agenda and the manifesto is going to tap into the needs of what our country faces and where we are headed. And having a mixture of young, old, in between, women, and the likes of it, it gives the Bahamian people more of a chance to really see that these people are in it for the long haul, and this unstoppable change is really on the way to taking the country to the next level.
Great answer. But I think it is exactly that. This is a next generation of leadership. And we have seen the good and the bad from our forefathers, and we've learned from the successes. And so it is going to be different because we are different.
Okay. I'm going to hear you. I'm not skeptical. I'm being your public. I'm not skeptical.
No problem. But if we aren't, you know, I expect you to call us back on the show and be like, Michaela, you said you were going to be different and you doing the same stuff.
Hold us accountable. And you know, not only that, I hope, and from some things I have heard, not everything, but some things I've heard, there is a kind of studiousness which some of you are approaching your potential involvement in things. And that speaks to a kind of preparation that helps to ensure that if given the opportunity, that you won't squander it because you are familiar. And if you're not, for those who are listening on both the FNM and the PLP and the COI side, I'm going to say this to you as someone who entered politics when I was 29 years old. Fortunately for me, I had two things to my advantage. One was I worked in the civil service. I worked closely with people with experience and leadership in the civil service who mentored me in how the civil service works. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing. Okay, so I had the benefit of seeing government mechanics in its good, bad, and ugliness, right? Secondly, Mr. Ingram prompted in me a thing that said, treat this early experience of yours as a lesson. Learn as much as you can. And so I didn't, notwithstanding being called arrogant for many, many, many years, I didn't approach the thing as if I knew everything. And so I was curious, and I learned from permanent secretaries, some of whom I bucked with, who I conflicted with, but who taught me in that conflict how to understand the job they had to do and the job I had to do. So that when you get an opportunity to serve in government, you can do it with more savvy, with more maturity and sophistication, because you understand it better, good, the bad, and ugly.
And I think that is incredibly, incredibly important. I too have had the benefit of tours, and you have to be willing to learn. You have to be open to learning, and that's the only way that we will move this forward.
Yeah,
this country forward.
Yeah, and two, again, I'm speaking to FNMs, PLPs, COIs, everybody, when I say this. The time to prepare to govern is not when you win.
No.
It's before you win.
Yes.
Right? So that there has to be a clarity of mind about what it is you seek to do for the people you serve in government. You know, I tell people, Madam Senator, I had a clean desk policy when I was Minister of State for Finance. And so on my desk was cleaned every time I left it for the day. But in the middle of the desk was always these two pieces of paper. One said, do something for the people today. And the other one was, these are the five things I want to accomplish before I leave this ministry. And those five things were tied to the manifesto promises we made.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so I was always reminded first thing in the day, why was I came to that office. And so rather than be caught up with the fact that somebody could get me tea or somebody might make this arrangement for me, I was focused on this is why I'm here, to do something. Whether you win, you lose, or you draw when you're in government is irrelevant. It is whether you served the best you could serve. Exactly. But maybe that's not enough for people, and that's okay. They have a right to tell you, yeah, you're backside. But you can only do what you can do. And if you're focused, prepared, and try, then you could go and lay down your head on your bed and say, God, I thank you for the opportunity. I tried to do the best I could.
See, now when you talk like this, you know, we start begging you to come, continue to beg you to come back.
You can beg me to be always be available to all of you, FNMPL, PCOI, and all of you who will say, listen, Mr. Lang, what you think with this? What you think with that? Because that's why we're here, right? That's why we're here. And when I listen to yourself and, I can't remember what it was we just called. I don't.
Vice chair,
yeah. Right, that's what I do. Remember the position. I could only say that I'm filled with much hope. Not about your FNMism. I'm filled with much hope about your ambitions and aspirations for the country. Willingness to serve. I'm happy to see that.
This is the Bahamas we live in.
This text says, when things like this happen in the States, the Mail formal says leaders at times have to make tough decisions. Welcome to the club, Mr. Pindad. Say, Iram Lewis leaving the opposition is a benefit to the FNM and a liability for the CRI. He's not a hard worker. Oh, y'all are harsh. This text says, as an FNM, the only concern for me today is what could be done to stop the bleeding. For a former FNM minister to leave the party because he didn't feel valued, imagine the average FNM supporter who feels tired and fed up of the apparent FNM disunity and infighting. Ma'am, that he left because he didn't feel valued.
You know, one thing I've learned in law, and just with people, that is people's feelings are real to them. Mm-hmm. And we cannot discredit the way he feels, because it is, mm-hmm. you know, it is real to him. And I trust that he has made a decision that he thinks is in his best interest. And he's entitled to do so. And he's entitled to do so. I think, you know, as I indicated earlier, FNMs are on the ground. Many of the associations are on the ground. If you're feeling disgruntled with the FNM, let them know, because we can't help. We can't fix the problem if you don't tell us that it's a problem.
And your feelings are real. That's the truth. Your feelings are might real. Be real, but, you know, they that doesn't mean that they are true, right? For instance, I can feel that you don't like me. That doesn't mean it's true.
Correct.
I can feel you don't value me, but that doesn't mean it's true.
That is right. Correct.
And so if you to talk about how, imagine how average FNMs feel. Man, let me tell you something. I walk around this country every day hearing from average FNMs. They don't all feel unvalued. I can tell you that. But maybe some. We have some callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, hi there, Mr. Lang, and to you, Bartlett Ellis. Lang, you know, you just mentioned the thing. He said, how you feel and what you know is two different things. You know, like your friend said, you know your name. I can't convince you of that. You could feel it with anything else. But, you know, one of the things, just I want to get to my point, but one of the things with Iram is that if you listen to a person, you actually begin to hear their message. And I'm just going to use one aspect because I'm sure he'll have a lot more to say because he has some show schedule. But he says, I felt like my nomination was up in the air. And then some other things he said, and the question is, has anyone been nominated? Has anyone been denied? And so then he goes and says that, I'm going to wait till he finishes speaking, but let me just get to my point.
But just before you move on for that, Alan, do you remember when Michael Pinta, the current leader of the Free National Movement's nomination, was up in there?
Oh, I remember. No, I can remember.
I mean, that was real. I'm not saying Lewis's was, but I'm saying his was real. It was really up in there.
I could give you the date because I was leader of a third party at that particular time. On March 8th, he spoke to the Rotary, and we listened to him, Greg Moss and myself. On March 16th, Greg was leader. On March 17th is when I think he was named or something of that. These dates might be exact. It was very close to it. So it was like less than 45 days before the election, I think, one of the last persons to be needed. And one of the reasons why we as a third party, we thought that he was an excellent candidate to represent Marco City, and there was no need to contest him the way, say, Marco Pine did in Pine Ridge. And it turned out to be true because Michael Pintard is a representative of the five constituencies on Grand Bahama and the two on Abaco that I am aware of, that people would think that he was campaigning to be nominated in these constituencies. And which brings me to the point, Lang, you said like a different type of leader. Now, when I came home in the early 2000s, I'd been in technology for 23 years, having been at IBM when they released their first computer, having been around for the launch of the internet in January of 1983, the World Wide Web, the Wi-Fi Alliance, everything. So I've seen all the technology, even the ones in between. When I came home advocating for the beginning of the 21st century to prepare you, and I've been doing that. I'm now, at the time of 23 years, I'm 47 years now into technology. I have never felt in the two decade plus I've been home that we are closer to recognize. And so for me, this is a shift from a previous generation. No, this is a shift in thought. I never felt more confident of being in the 21st century, of being prepared for the country moving to where it's necessary for the 21st century. And you know, I have no problem in meeting anyone, anywhere, current MP, former MP, advocate, fanatical, anywhere, because I don't come guessing. I know what I'm speaking of. And the reason for that is this, right? I am moving into the final, like you say, I'm closer to the end than I am to the beginning. But I just happen, as the old guy, to be married to what y'all call Gen Z. With a wife and three children. And this is what I'm saying to you. Three children that is born and probably two more if I keep my promise. The point is, I want to leave the Bahamas for them. And I've never felt more comfortable of the competency in leadership that Michael Pintard represents for the transition and preparing the way for them before I happen to leave. Thank you.
I got you, bro. We got another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Where's the line? How you doing?
I'm right here, man. What's up?
Oh, Michael, how you doing, Senator?
I'm well, thank you.
I wanted to ask a question, Mr. Lang. You would have been an MP before. I've heard R.M. Lewis address, you know, the people. But did he consult with them first?
Well, that would be the only way to know. If I were answering your question, if you were putting it to me as an MP and I did this, I would have to say to you, yes, I went and had constituency meetings of the people who voted for me, and they told me, yeah, bro, jump.
You know, I it's hard to say that it was truly about the people, man, and not about your fallout with the party.
Well, it can be. I would argue, and forgive me, Madam Senator, for usurping a little bit, but I would argue it can be for the people if you jump ship and go on and cast your lot with a group that you weren't sure were going to win and the people would support, because then that means you won't be available for the people to serve them.
Exactly. Mr. Lang, I wanted to ask the senator, this is the time now where Mr. Pintar, the leadership, because yes, you consider it a blow, but I don't consider it a blow. I consider you have to go and address the people that voted for that man in that constituency and assure them, and assure them that they will get the representation that they voted for. You know, I think we get caught up in ourselves sometimes and don't understand that we represent people. And that's what this transparency in government comes from, where people feel that no one is listening. They don't feel a part of this whole political process in this country anymore. You know, Senator, y'all have to go into these communities before y'all write that manifesto. Speak to the Bahamian people and feel and let them dictate to y'all what trajectory. The only problem I have right now with this, the FNM, is that they cannot send, they don't see a clear direction. Michael Pintard, from him, because yes, we go and we vote for our MPs, but at the end of the day, the prime minister, the person who is vying for that position, it's your plan. Because like we say a lot of times, it's the power lies in the hands of the leader in this country. We want to hear his plans. I don't see a clear plan for the FNM government. I don't. If they get reelected,
I'm going to encourage you to continue to listen to the leader in the House of Assembly, because you're definitely going to hear more of our plans. It is not just, you know, responding to these pieces of legislation.
But it's an instructive point that he makes, and if the leader is listening, I think the important thing is, you know, for instance, you say you listen for our plans, and it's true, it's going to be the party's plans, but what he's meaning is he wants to hear leaders everything he can do. Politics, right?
And you know, you're starting to, and we're here, and you're hearing that in his communications. If you listen to him, you will see that, particularly more recently, there's a lot more meat about what it is that we intend to do. And one of the wonderful things about the shadow ministries and that exercise was they were made up of everyday people, everyday Bahamians from all walks of life across the length and breadth of the Bahamas. We had persons from the Family Islands participating. We had persons from New Providence, from most of the constituencies that, you know, participated in the shadow ministries that they were interested in. So we received the thoughts and ideas from a wide range of Bahamians. I will say that I know that the leader has spoken to Central Grand Bahama FNM Association on many occasions. And if I know Michael, I'm certain that, you know, he's going to be on the first thing smoking to go have a conversation with Central Grand Bahama after what has happened today. You know, I know they are in the House of Assembly today. But you better believe he's going to reach out to Central Grand Bahama if he has not already.
This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I always hear about persons campaign aspiring to be candidates, all parties. I don't see the amount of personnel. Nobody says that texter.
I encourage them to check out the Facebook page, because there are lots of photographs of the persons on the ground in constituencies across the length and breadth of the Bahamas. The red shirts are out.
Okay. It says, Mr. Lang, I keep hearing this narrative that the FNM is divided, but I don't share the same sentiment. I see a party that is organized, determined, focused, and supportive of their leader, with the exception of one disgruntled, egotistical individual who seems to lack the capacity to read room. If you allow him to take the party down, then you don't deserve to be the next government. Wow. Okay. That's putting it very clearly.
Yeah, tell us how you really feel.
Right. This says, Lang, the COI won their first seat. No, they didn't.
No.
One who first seat.
No, that's not what happened.
No, please. You know the Constitution says the leader of the party with the most members elected to the House of the Assembly becomes Prime Minister. So the most members elected to the House of Assembly. When you see, oh, I had a member get elected to the House of Assembly. Don't start that. So from the day I asked him what he is doing with the constituency allowance and was told to go and ask Minister Alkidis, I was done with him. This is a great day for Central.
You know, one thing about our people is they are going to express themselves. You're not wonder what we think.
Yeah. They don't joke. You know, but this is not you, ma'am. This is me. There's not a possible chance I'm leaving an established party, having been elected in that in the House by that. With that party as a group, and leave and go and join a party that doesn't now have a member in the House of Assembly, and don't at the very least be either deputy or leader. There's not a possible chance I'm doing that. Otherwise, what am I doing? I got a whole group of people who sent me to the House of Assembly, and I decided, and they sent me to the House of Assembly on the basis that I was the F&M representative for that constituency. I decided to leave. He had no meeting with them, no how. I decided to leave, and I made not a lateral move. I made a decline move. I mean, deputy of the party that I supposed to be in there representing, or the leader. Y'all will never hear Chicago Show like do that. But that was me, ma'am. That's just me.
So that was all you, yes.
Yeah, that was just, I'm just saying. And anyway, anything you want to wrap up with us this today, ma'am, to say to the people of the Bahamas?
I just want to say to the people of the Bahamas that, first of all, the F&M is united behind Michael Clifton Pintard, never doubt otherwise, and that we are ready to be the next government of the Bahamas. So follow the F&M, sign up for the F&M, get involved in your constituency associations, because unstoppable change is coming.
I'm going to send you all a bill for that political ad. And by the way, Progressive Liberal Party, COI, Progressive Liberal Party, if you want to come and make a similar interview, I'm happy to do that. And COI, I'm happy to do that too. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank Senator Michaela Barnett Ellis for her wonderful this dialogue with us today, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me, and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. God spares life. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.